This podcast was brought to you by Pastor Mike Calstrip and Fellowship Church. For more information, visit thefellowship.church.
Hallelujah. We want to thank those of you that are watching tonight online. Hope you got a Bible. We're going to get into the Word. It's going to be great. Hallelujah. Amen. Good to see you all this evening. God bless you. Thank God you're here on a Wednesday night. That must mean you love Jesus, huh? Well, I think, you know, because otherwise you'd be somewhere else doing something else probably. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Last week, my wife and I had the privilege, was it last week? Yeah, last week. We had the privilege of going out to the Black Hills and being a part of a conference with Patty Akui and then with Marty Blackwelder. Man, we had a time. It was great. We missed the Wednesday night because we had to be back here on Thursday. And he was going to have, you know, Marty, vintage Marty. He was going to have a saturation service. And I can only imagine. Well, I actually called because I wanted to talk to him about it. And they had a great, great time. He preached on joy. And, you know, and it was just a wonderful time and had a packed house. Joel and Diana Zolkowski are the senior pastors there in Custer. If you're ever out there vacationing, you need to go to their church. It's a beautiful, brand new facility that they just got done building. Supernatural story as to how it came about. And it's all paid for. It's wonderful. And a great couple doing a great work for the kingdom of God. So we had a good time. Hallelujah. And wish you could have been there. Praise the Lord. Maybe next time, huh? Amen. Or we could just bring it here. I don't know. Anyway, did y'all bring a Bible with you this evening? I don't know where we're going to open our Bible up to. Oh, okay. Yeah, I do too. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. And this is the way I think I'm going to go tonight. I've had quite a number of things kind of run around on the inside of me. And I landed here, but since then, well, just things change for me. What can I say? Okay. And so I'm more interested in what he has to say about whatever it is that we're talking about. So we'll just listen to him. Amen. How many of you know it's kind of smart to listen to Jesus? Amen. Praise God. I mean, he knows what he's talking about. He knows the end from the beginning. Matter of fact, before we read this verse of Scripture, the context of what I want to talk about this evening is I've entitled it Follow His Lead or Following His Lead. And I think that you're going to discover that that becomes increasingly important as we move down the road of life here. And the fact of the matter is that everything that's happening within the world in which we live can be a little bit disconcerting. Is that a good word? Yeah. And yet, you know, all of these things Jesus knew would come to pass. But I think the challenge for us as human beings is to, well, you have to trust him, obviously, but, you know, the understanding aspect of what it is that's happening, because none of these things that are occurring right now have taken your Heavenly Father by surprise, okay? They may be a little alarming to you and me, but the reality is again, he knows the end from the beginning. All these things, as the Bible says, must come to pass. And so when Jesus was talking to his disciples prior to his passion and the giving of his life, you know, he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Then he went on to explain, his Father's house, there's many mansions. If it weren't so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to come again. Well, you know, none of that really was, you know, setting real well with them because of what they didn't understand. And in another, in that part of that discourse, he said, because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Well, again, when we see everything that's going on in the world today, you know, it's, as I mentioned, disconcerting, challenging, even to the point of perhaps being even threatening. All of these things. But yet, when he was talking to the disciples, he said, it's to your advantage that all of this takes place. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that all the turmoil and everything that's going on in the world is to our advantage, but it is part of the plan, Okay? So you and I, as children of God, really do need to give our full attention to learning and understanding and following the Spirit of God. Because he did say, don't let your hearts be troubled. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart. Now, your brain, that's another deal. You know, we're going to have to pray over that. But anyway, you know, the important thing is the core of the real you, that you're not allowing the things that are in the world to, for lack of a better way of saying it, overwhelm you. So that's why I was talking. And here's the real point about this, is that if we will learn to follow him, then not only will, when he said, don't let your hearts be troubled, we won't let our hearts be troubled. And we won't have fear. And we'll be able to do everything that heaven wants us to do and carry out the divine purposes that he has for us in this life. When I mentioned to you in that conference that we were at, when Marty was there, he talked about a prophecy that a prophetic word that Rick Renner, let me find this. Here it is. Okay. That Rick Renner had given at the first of the year. Now, some of you may or may not know Rick. He really is an apostle to the church. He pastors a church in Moscow, and phenomenal work. And he's a Greek and Hebrew scholar. I mean, you know, whenever you listen to him, it's like taking a drink out of a fire hydrant. It's about all you can do to keep up. I would encourage you, if you'd like, you can look him up, you know, Google him and listen to some of his stuff, because it's phenomenal is what it is. Well, anyway, in the beginning of the year, he was flying internationally. I don't know whether he was coming back to the U.S. or going, doesn't matter, but he had decided that he was really going to take that time and really lean into and seek the Lord about 2024. Well, as he was doing that, the Lord began to speak to his heart about this year. And this is what the Lord said to him. The year of 2024 will be visited with turbulent episodes across the entire globe, especially in the realms of finances, politics, and in the nations. These episodes will be of a sort that they will potentially cause those who are not rooted in God's word to be deeply disturbed. Sounds like we need to get deeply rooted, huh? What does that mean? What does it mean to be deeply rooted? That means you know the truth and you believe the truth and you walk in the truth. So then he goes on to say, it could cause those who are not rooted in God's word to be deeply disturbed. But, listen to this, for those who stay in faith, stay in peace, stay in love, and stay in fellowship, and keep sowing seed for the sake of eternity, they will experience a supernatural power that will cause them to be unmoved, unshaken, well provided for, and to walk in a much needed divine assurance, divine peace, divine power, and divine and supernatural victory. Yes, those who stay in faith, in peace, in love, in fellowship, and keep sowing seed for the sake of eternity will be blessed, empowered, joy-filled, and sustained, and they will miraculously thrive even if the world around them seems tossed with a tempest. So there is a place of refuge for the church. There is a place of refuge for you as the believer. But there are conditions to that, of course, as he said, about being deeply rooted in the Word of God, to be in faith, to be to stay in peace, stay in faith, stay in peace, stay in love. You know, that right there can be a pretty good-sized challenge sometimes, amen? If you don't walk in love, man, you're getting yourself out where you don't belong. Isn't that right? And you know, numerous writers in the scriptures talk about the ill effect of strife and how it is absolutely demonically inspired to kill, steal, and to destroy. I mean, repeatedly throughout the scriptures, the Bible says the servant of the Lord must not strive. So you can't stick your foot in the trap, because if you do, you're only injuring yourself. Am I in the right house? Amen. And so some of these things, they really do require some resolve on our part as believers, that I'm walking as He would have me to walk. And part of that requires us as believers to, you can't be so nonchalant about your engagement or your involvement within the kingdom of God. A lot of people, they come to church, they go to church, they go back home, but it's not necessarily what I would refer to as an engaging kind of living thing. It's kind of like a duty. Well, it's not a duty, it's actually a privilege. But there should be some intention within our heart. God, I'm coming to get something from You. God, I want to be a blessing to the people that are around me. God, I want to make a difference where my life is concerned and others are. Are you with me? In other words, it's not a spectator kind of thing. It really is important for us to be engaged. But again, it says to stay in faith, stay in peace, stay in love, stay in fellowship. Yeah, people right now, they don't attend anywhere. And if they do, it's far and few in between. They're not engaged. I would probably describe them as backslid, because the Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But human reasoning takes people out of the game all the time. Other things, distractions, whatever you want to call it. And listen, you guys, I'm just telling you right now that right now, at this time in which you and I are living in, this is not the time to be distracted. We need to have our eye on the ball. Are you listening to me? So that we can stay in faith, stay in peace, stay in love, and stay in fellowship and keep sowing seed for the sake of eternity. That's the commission of the church, right? So while I, you know, use that, and it seems a bit sobering, but you know, sometimes we need to be sobered up. It doesn't hurt us to know the truth. Amen? Hallelujah? And so, I'm telling you, Jesus has given you and I a front row seat as to what it is that's going to be taking place here in the very, very near future with His second return, the second advent of Christ, and a lot of other things. So we just need to have our lamps trimmed, our lights burning, baby. Praise God, so that we're ready to go. Can you say amen? So having said that, have any of you men as husbands ever been accused of not listening to your wife? John was the first one with his hand up down there, you know, or up there, I should say. You know, and especially when she's trying to get something across to you, right? Same thing's true with kids and parents. You know, parents are trying to talk to their kids, and there's some, I know, you know, my daughter, Amy, she'll go, Liam, look at me. Look at me. Sometimes she has to say it about three times, because he's just, you know, he's in his own world. Because why? Because she wants him to listen, understand, and hear whatever it is that she's saying. And I think that's really true for the church today. Would you agree with that? You know, it just becomes pretty, pretty important for us to think about it in that. Because the world, you guys, it's filled with distractions. Everywhere you look, there are so many things that seem to be going on, and a lot of voices that are, you know, vying for our attention, and everyone's trying to figure out, how to get your attention. How can I, you know, garner some bit of, you know, attention or time from an individual so that I can influence or impact that person's life. So you got all this stuff. Everybody say stuff. Yeah, stuff that's around us, and it becomes important for us, again, to pay attention. Jesus talked about this in Mark chapter 4. You don't have to read or go there, but in the parable of the sower, you know, he makes reference to a sower that went out to sow, and he sowed in various types of soil. And then later on, he explained to his disciples, to you it's given to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. To those that are without or don't know Christ, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they might see and not understand, and so on and so forth. But he said the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Well, that seed gets sown in these various types of soil. And he went down and he talked about thorns. And he said basically thorns are this. They represent the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the strong desire of other things, entering in, choking the word of God. You know, I always say this all the time, but spring's not the time to plant grass. Because, I mean, you can get this thing all measured up, you know, and get it all groomed and get all this and that and the other thing going. And then you can sow that grass in the ground, you know, and it'll come up nice. You fertilize it. I mean, it just takes off and you think, baby, we got it going. Well, what you don't realize is right behind it is all this weed seed. And this stuff is on steroids. So you got this really nice thing going on, and all of a sudden it gets overwhelmed. And pretty soon you don't have a stand of grass at all, but you do have a great crop of weeds. So if anybody's interested, fall's the best time to plant grass, because you don't fight the weed seed. Well, anyway, that analogy that Jesus used, or parable actually that he used, describes that perfectly, how that all these things choke the word of God in our lives, and then it, the word, becomes unfruitful. But then thank God he talked about good ground. Everybody say, I'm good ground. Yeah, on good ground, he said he sowed that seed and it produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. So that's what we want to be doing. Well, if that's the case, then we got to keep the weeds out. And the weeds in this case are the distractions, the cares, you know, the worries, all of the things that are going on in the world today. You know, all the worrying that we do doesn't change anything anyway. Have any of you really had an impact on the world's messed upness because you're worrying? No. But, you know, of course, it's a natural thing for us to do that because we're concerned about its impact in our lives. But yet, right on the other hand, we have to look at it and say, now, Jesus told me I didn't have to worry about this. He's going to take care of it, and he's going to take care of me. How many of you believe that tonight? You know, I don't know how this is all going to work out. Nobody does. But I can tell you this much, exactly the way that God planned it, it's going to happen. Amen. And he is going to take care of his own, because he will take a father's place to minister and to meet the needs that you and I have, if he has to do it supernaturally, rain it down out of heaven, whatever the case might be. But it's important for us as believers, of course, to make sure that we're in the place that we need to be. Mary and Martha is another great story in Luke chapter 10. 28 through 30. You remember the story where Jesus came into their house. Martha wanted to put on a big deal for him, you know, so he was in there preaching the word. And of course, she was cumbered, the Bible says, about much serving. And then so much so, she wanted Mary to help her because she was overwhelmed. And so she kind of, you know, ran into the living room or wherever Jesus was and said, tell her to help me. In other words, you know, it wasn't going to work for her to tell Mary to help her. Mary's going to, you know, just kind of go away. I'm listening, you know. So she tried to solicit Jesus's help. Tell my sister to help me. And so he just turned to her and he said, Martha, you're careful and you are troubled about many things. I think that her temperament, maybe disposition or whatever, Jesus knew these siblings very well. He knew Lazarus and the two girls. I mean, he hung out with them a lot prior to the beginning of his ministry. So it wasn't like, you know, this is a new thing. He knew all about her characteristics. And he said, Martha, you're troubled about many things, but there's only one thing that is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part. What did she choose to do? She chose to hear the word, right? She wanted to find out what Jesus had to say so that she could make an application of it, so that she could tie it to her life, so that she could be a doer of the word of God, so that she could obey the command of our Father, so that she could enjoy the blessing that comes from that obedience. Martha, on the other hand, you know, and again, this is the thing, you guys, so much of this that I'm talking about here, the issues that we're having to deal with, they're legitimate. And, you know, there's responsibilities that all of us have. But you have to make sure that you have things in their proper place in as far as priority is concerned. You know? Remember when Paul was writing, he talked about, you know, putting on the new man and being renewed, you know, and saying, you know, put away stealing and all this and that and the other. And one of the places that he, in there, he says, and give no place to the devil. Well, how do we do that? Well, we yield to some form of temptation or whatever the case might be, right? Well, you know, if we're not to give any place to the devil, I would suggest to you that maybe we should give place to the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Amen? In other words, let's just, you know, pause for a moment and ask ourselves, what does the Word say? You remember when Jehoshaphat was going to, he made an alliance with Ahab. There was a marriage that took place, I think, between their kids. And so all of a sudden, you know, Ahab had the alliance of Jehoshaphat, even though he Ahab was wicked, you know, and he had the 10 tribes, and of course Jehoshaphat had the other two because it was split. Don't have time to get into that. But anyway, you know, they're getting ready to do this, and so Jehoshaphat, he just pulled up and he says, is there not a prophet, you know, in the land here someplace that we maybe can look to or seek to find out how it is? Oh yeah, man, I got 400 of them, you know, or whatever the number was, big old boatload of them. And they all come out and, you know, placated the king, said, man, you're the greatest thing since sliced cheese. Well, you know, Jehoshaphat seen right through it. He said, no. Is there a real prophet? You know, and Ahab says, well, yeah, there's this other guy up here, but I don't like him because he never prophesied very good to me. Well, go get him. So they went and got him, you know, and he said, oh, he mocked him. He said, oh, yeah, go up, man. You're going to have blah, blah, blah. He says, and then in the end, he said, it's not going to be good. Yeah. So thank God for Jehoshaphat's sake that at least he was preserved. But I guess my point to using that illustration is before we get carried away about things that we propose to do, maybe we ought to just pull up a little bit and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? It's a good prayer, you know, because sometimes we need to learn to listen so that we don't get into situations that we don't want to find ourselves in, right? And you have to understand that sometimes what it is that we hear within our hearts is going to be no. Okay, great, good, yeah. Yeah, you know, because there is a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty that gives us guidance. And when we look to Him, thank God He'll tell us what we need to know. Amen? Hallelujah. I remember during the COVID thing, you know, had an opportunity to put up some storage units. And you cannot begin to imagine the naysaying and the negative kinds of things that I was hearing at that time. And even some of the contractors that I'd hired to do the work, you sure you want to do this, you know? And I mean, after all, you know, and I mean, this could, I mean, you know, and so they're going down this laundry list of reasons why. But, you know, on the inside of me, I knew that it was okay. Yeah, do it. You're fine. No problem. So I did. And we had perfect weather for so much of the work that we needed to have it done. And by November of that year in 2020, I believe it is, we opened up the property. And, you know, it's 85% full now, maybe 90, you know. And I'm glad I did it, right, you know. But yet right on the other hand, you know, we do need to learn to listen because if God puts on the brakes, then we need to put on the brakes. Amen. Might be for the purchase of something, or you know, some type of you know, expansion or investment or something of that nature that you're wanting to do. We can listen to the Holy Ghost and He'll guide us. Thank God He will. Amen. Y'all with me? You know, maybe here's the thing. You know, some of you, you know, you're working in the workplace. You know, God's interested about you working in the workplace. Yeah, He really is. And so, you know, if there are issues that are involved within that workplace where your life is concerned, take time to pray and listen. Say, Lord, you know, what would you have me to do? Or how is it that we can manage this? Or what can be done differently? I mean, I don't know, you know, whatever the circumstance is, but you know, He will talk to you if you'll ask Him. But a lot of times we don't do that. You know, sometimes we've got job situations or co-workers, things of that nature, you know, and it's not very favorable because you're light and they're darkness, you know, that kind of thing. Well, you know, He's fully aware of that, you know, so He can help us to behave wisely if we'll look to Him. I think about Daniel, you know, I mean, here's this guy, the grace of God is all over this person. So much so that everyone around him disliked him, hated him, wanted to do damage and harm to him. You know, I mean, was it Nebuchadnezzar? I believe he had proposed to put him over the whole entire realm because of the wisdom that was within him, because of the integrity that was in his heart, and because of his faithfulness to carry out the job that was in front of him. And there were, I think, he was one of three presidents, if I understand correctly. And then there was a bunch of princes below them, you know, in the next tier. And that's how he ended up in the lion's den. They said, we're never going to be able to find any reason against this guy to get rid of him, except it be in the law of his God. And so that's when they came up and slid up against the king and said, man, you're the greatest thing that's ever happened. We really think that nobody ought to worship any other god but you for the next 30 days. And he said, well, I kind of like that idea. Let's do that. Well, Daniel didn't change, and that's the reason why he ended up in the lion's den. But here's the thing. Thank God, God delivered him, kept him, preserved him, brought him up out of that situation. And guess who else went into the lion's den? They did. Hallelujah. So I don't know about you, but I think that God would do the same thing for us. So if you have a job situation, you know, where there's concern there, in other words, don't allow the consternation to control your life. And a lot of times that's exactly what we do. We talk about it. We do all these kinds of things. We probably make statements that we shouldn't make. And really what we need to do is we need to, you know, come apart a while and spend some time with Him so that He can show us. A lot of people, you know, I've said this for years and it's true, but hurting people hurt people, you know. So a lot of times they're lashing out, they're making derogatory statements, they're, you know, trying to impose, you know, ugly on you or whatever the case might be. It's because of something that is more deep-seated. You know, you think about what they did to Jesus, and He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Isn't that right? Stephen did the same thing, you know. And I mean, you know, it takes great magnanimity. It takes an understanding beyond the norm to be able to pray those kinds of prayers. But that's what He's called us to do, so we can do that too. Huh? Wow, this is going a different direction tonight. Praise the Lord. But it's practical. It works. Amen. So, so Mary and Martha, you know, and how He dealt with that particular thing. And even again, like with all of these last day concerns that we have, you can probably expect it to continue to ratchet. You know, hell knows time is short. And it seems as though, in every way possible, it's attempting to unleash itself upon humanity. You and I are God's prized creation. And so the devil is trying to take it out on creation, God's creation. So we just have to, you know, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Is this all right tonight? I mean, I hope, you know, I trust that you know, I don't want this to feel like some ominous kind of thing, but I do want to, you know, wave a flag so that, you know, we can walk on in peace, right? So if you've been anxious, it's time to get that whole ship turned around and get yourself, you know, squared away where you need to be. Hallelujah. Because I tell you this much about it, the world needs you. I mean, you are salt and you are light. And as things continue, the Bible says everything that can be shaken is going to get shook. Okay? So that makes it all the more important for us, you know. So as we see the closing of the church age coming, I tell you what, we can be so thankful for what we know, you guys. Did you hear me? I mean, we may not know everything, but we know a lot, you know, so as to say that we don't have to let our heart be troubled. And if we're tempted to have it become troubled, we can just stop and say, no, wait a minute. No, I'm not going down this path. I'm going to pray. I'm going to look to Him, and I'm going to get the counsel that I need. And that may require a change in our lifestyle, you know, the way that we kind of do things and whatever, and may have to slow down a little bit in order to give Him the time that He needs, because it's important, I think. So anyway, did you find Luke 21? Okay, look at this verse scripture with me. Luke 21, verse 28. Jesus has made reference to a lot of things, but notice 28. He said, and when these things begin, everybody underline the word begin. When these things begin to come to pass, then do what? Look up. Look up. Hallelujah. And lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. And then He spake unto them a parable. He said, look at the fig tree. You know, the fig tree, figuratively, is Israel. So He said, look at the fig tree and all the trees, or other nations. And He said, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer, or harvest, is nigh at hand. So likewise you, when you see these things come to pass, what's the next word? What is it? Know. Know. Know ye that the kingdom of God is near at hand. Know. You know, when I mentioned to you earlier about the knowledge that we have, we know. Now, I don't know sometimes how conscious we are of it, but we know that we are near. He said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then know. We see all this upheaval in the Middle East, all the things that are going on there, the upheavals that we're having in our own nation and things that are going on. You know, and all of this stuff. I mean, it's it's wild. But He said, when you see these things, and we don't have time to unpack it, but you could go back and read this 21st chapter, and you know, He talks about, you know, signs in the sun and the moon and the earth, and you know, the moon will be turned into blood. We've seen all of that happening here, you know, within the last recent years, all of that stuff that's taking place. And so I think, I don't know how much bigger the flag needs to get for us to really recognize the fact that we stand on this threshold together as a church. Hallelujah. And remember that word that came from Rick Renner. He said, you know, keep sowing seed for what? The sake of eternity. The only thing that God, He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. That's the only thing that's holding Him up. And He said these days would be shortened for our sake, for the elect's sake. So we can work as the church to hasten His coming. Hallelujah. Let's just get all the chairs filled up at the banquet table so we can go home. Hallelujah. And then we can just rejoice. But, you know, fundamental to the well-being of every believer is knowing the truth and embracing it. And you guys know it. We just need to embrace it. Isn't that right? And be cognizant of it. The book of Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and do not sell it. There are so many lies that are being propagated right now that people, they don't know straight up from sic'em. You know what I mean by that? I mean, they are as confused as it gets. You see some of these people, commentators, can be anybody. It's like, wow, where and what planet did they come from? Huh? You know, I've said it many times. I mean, you know, you listen to some of them, they've lost their mind. Well, quite literally, they really have. They've given themselves over to all manners of evil and things, and there's no truth in them, okay? So it's important for you and I to not only know the truth, but to embrace it. And you say, that's not true. You know, oh my God, we're going to be, well, that's not true. Jesus said he'd take care of us. I believe he will. Amen. You know, and so a lot of times people, so he said, buy the truth, do not sell it. Also, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Get all of it that you can. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus made the statement. He said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth will do what? Make you free. Not only make you free, but keep you free. Amen. So we know, I think sometimes we don't give ourselves the kind of credit that we really should. You know a lot more than what the devil leads you to believe. You know a lot. Amen. Jesus was talking about the sheepfold, and he was talking about he calls his own, and they follow him. Now, I don't know that much about this whole deal, but from what I've been told is a lot of times the shepherds would take their sheep and they'd throw them all in one pen or one corral, and maybe they were in there for the night or whatever the case might be. Well, at the dawning of the next day when they were going to take them out for pasture and things, the Bible said, or, you know, it talks about the fact that the shepherd calls his own. So in other words, it's a wildest thought, but every one of the sheep that belongs to that shepherd knows his voice. And when he calls, they go, "Whoop, it's time to go eat breakfast. Let's go," you know. And away they go, and all the rest of them go, "No, I don't know that voice. I'm not going there." Well, thank God the Bible says you and I know his voice, and the voice of a stranger we do not follow. So that's why it's so important for you and I, as that prophetic word that Rick was talking about, is to be rooted or grounded in the truth, in the Word of God. You know, because lots of, you know, there's ideologies, there's all kinds of demonic kinds of doctrine, all kinds of things, you know, to stir up all kinds of problems. And the whole thing about this racism, it's nothing more than a doctrine of hell that is intended to divide and conquer, to bring much damage in people's lives. And then people's hearts become hateful. And all of the things that you see going on. Well, Jesus said, you're not that person. So you just stay in the middle of the road here and stay happy. Amen. Does that make sense to you? Amen. You know, they'll call you racist. You may not have a racist bone in your body, but they'll still call you or accuse you. Because so much of the time, if you don't agree with them, then you are. You're automatically guilty because you don't agree. So don't let that trouble you, but understand it and have wisdom when it comes to those kinds of things, and don't step your foot in the trap. Can you say amen? When Paul was writing to Timothy, you know, Timothy had a very challenging charge as pastor in Ephesus. It was a very, I guess, cosmopolitan kind of city. We were there once. It sits, you know, on the sea, and actually the sea has receded away from the city itself, probably 4 miles or more. But I can just only imagine what the city must have been like right there on the edge of the Mediterranean, you know. And So he was given the commission, I guess you might call it, to pastor the church there in Ephesus. And it was hard. There was a lot of paganism, all kinds of things. We actually walked down the street where it said that he was martyred. You know, his life was taken from him there on that street. And but when you walk around this city, everything that's been excavated, it is amazing how advanced that they were. They had plumbing, you know, in this city and things of that nature, which, I mean, that was a long time ago and pretty amazing stuff. But anyway, back to Timothy. He had a pretty a difficult row to hoe. Any of you ever hoe beans? Huh? They don't do that anymore now. They just spray stuff and that's the end of it. When I was a kid growing up, we had to walk beans. And I got to tell you, man, I'd rather take a severe beating than have to do it. Actually, I'd rather put up hay than do beans. And there was one farmer, and I mean, man, I did everything. I did everything I could to stay under the radar because this guy was a terrible farmer. And so we have to go walk his beans, and we walk, and you couldn't even see the beans. And you know, normally, you know, you might take, depending on how clean or dirty they were, you know, you might take four rows. One person could, you know, you could walk through and you get down through this deal and you kind of clean things up. Dude, you couldn't even take two. It was the ugliest. And like these were, if I remember correctly, I don't know if they were a quarter or a half mile. They might have been a half mile. It doesn't make any difference. But dude, we would take off in the morning and we wouldn't get back to the other end till lunch. That's how bad it was. I mean, it was... Thank God those days are over, baby. Hallelujah. So anyway, why was I saying that? I don't know. Hard row to hoe. Timothy. Okay, Timothy. And so he wrote the first letter and gave him some instructions about, you know, the administration of the church and what needed to happen and his role and, you know, people desiring the office of the bishop. And so he was just dealing with stuff. Well, then the second letter he wrote to him was a letter of encouragement because he was getting weary in well-doing. I mean, he was just wilting under the pressure and the weariness of what it is that he was having to deal with. And so Paul begins a letter in 2 Timothy by encouraging him. He says, when I call to remembrance, you know, the faith, the unfeigned, the genuine faith that was in your mother and your grandmother, I know it's in you, Timothy, you know. And then he went on to say, you know, and to explain to him, you know, God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, verse 7, but of power and love and a sound mind. And he goes on through this letter and he's talking to him about it. And, you know, he's talking about stirring up the gift of God. Everybody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. You know, I'm telling you that when you get into a hard spot and you're in pain, the best thing you have is your partnership with the Spirit of God. And you can turn to Him and begin to call on the name of the Lord, lift up your voice and begin to praise, pray in the Spirit, in other tongues, hallelujah, stir up the gift of God, hallelujah, that's on the inside of you, the inner man, so that you can fight against whatever it is that you're having to deal with. And so that is essentially what he was telling Timothy. Here's how to overcome. But you know, we don't do that. And I don't know. I think we all have a susceptibility, but we need to. Yeah, amen. Praise God. So anyway, in the context of the second letter, in the second chapter, in verse 15, he said, study. Everybody say study. Study to show yourself a workman approved unto God. Hallelujah. I think I need to read that to you because I'm not sure if I'm quoting it right. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So he's saying, give diligence to the study of the word of God. Now, I didn't know this when I got saved, but whether I realized it or not, I was going to become a lifelong learner. I didn't like school. How many of you like school? That was a drag. We just had our class reunion, 50 years being out of school. And, you know, we got in amongst all these kids that were really smart, you know. So we talked about that. You know, they were especially the girls, they were so tidy and smart. I wasn't smart. I was looking on their page to find out what the answers were. So school was not my deal. But then when I got saved, then all of a sudden, I am by default becoming a student of the Word of God, just like you. Well, I don't like to read. Well, you might want to get that changed. You know, hallelujah. Get your audio Bible book or whatever, you know. But the truth of the matter is that it's the Word of God, particularly in the New Testament, that you and I need to really, really familiarize ourselves with. Can you say amen? So in these last days, let's take some real large, long drinks out of the well of His living Word. You know, when Paul wrote to the church there in Colossae, he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you how? Richly, abundantly. Huh? Say, yeah, but I don't really have time for that, you know, because a lot of times I got in trouble and I just want God to fix it. It's not the way it works. You know, it's almost like using Him. It'd be like in a relationship. You know, Betty and I don't really want to have a relationship with you. I don't really want to talk to you. I just want to extract whatever it is I can from you for my own benefit. That's not right. Huh? So let's give ourselves to that so that we can be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's why, you know, these doctrines, you know, that have been within the church for so many millennia, you know, about, well, you know, God's sovereign and we can't figure Him out and all that. That's why He gave us the book, you know. You get a manual. Yeah, I just bought this little tractor, you know, it's got this manual. And I mean, there's a lot of pages in it and there's a lot of illustration, all this and that and the other. But it'll tell me everything that I need to know to operate this tractor appropriately or whatever the case might be. But if I don't ever look at it, you know, these guys, they don't need no instruction. Yeah, you might want to think that over. But anyway, you get the point. Give yourself permission. You know, talk of it when you walk by, you know, when you walk in the way or when you lie down, when you rise up, when you're sitting there with your kids, you know, whatever case might be, let the Word of God be our conversation. Hallelujah. So if anybody comes up and says, you know, did you hear this? Say, yeah, no, I really didn't hear that, but I know that the Bible says, you know, it's going to be okay. All right, so hopefully this little study that we've had tonight has been of some benefit to you. I just want you to be encouraged. And I say that in this context, you don't have a thing to worry about. He said He would take care of you. So when we're tempted, or maybe we're just getting a little bit too much of the information from the world that is around us, we pull away from that. I don't think you ought to go through life uninformed, but yet right on the other, you understand. And so in that context, then we can trust Him. And not only that, but reach the world that is around us with good news. Okay? Let's stand, everybody. Y'all been such great listeners. Nobody shouted me down. Nobody threw anything. It was great. Hallelujah. I call that a win. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time together tonight. We're so grateful for Your Word. We thank You, Father God, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, there's liberty. So God, I pray for every person here this evening, even those watching online, that God, we will give heed, take heed, listen, and follow after You, Father, and follow Your lead. Because there were many, many times when your life was threatened, when you had things to deal with, perhaps you didn't have the answer to or know what to do. But Father, Jesus always knew what to do. So we just thank You tonight, Father, that You'll do the same thing for us, that You'll lead us in the way that we should go, and that we don't have to be afraid. In Jesus' wonderful name, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. All right, why don't you go ahead and be seated.